Come on, get back. Off-track message I started last week. We'll continue that on. And more and more I feel less and less constrained to try to adhere to some pattern and, you know, some outline and whatever. And I don't really find that in Scripture. So, you know, how do the churches meet? And what we do is well and fine. And I like routine. I'm a person of routine. It bothers me when the routine gets broken. But I think you should be willing just to follow as the Lord guides and directs and what seems to be needful at the time. And last week we touched on some things that I'd touched on before in recent days. And I want to expound on them a little bit and speak of some examples. You know, things we deal with every day, people we deal with. This stuff is out there. And we ought to seek not only to deal with that, but when we have opportunity, to have an opportunity to minister to folks as we see perhaps a door open. But we began last week this sermon, and I doubt I'll finish it again, but keep your accounts short. You know, we are not promised tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow brings. The Lord may come, we may pass. What you're going to do, you need to do it now. Even the Lord, during his earthly ministry, said that he must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So, don't say I'm intending to, or be talking about that little round to it thing that people say, I'm going to do it when I get around to it. And well, sometimes people make them up and give you a round to it. But keep your accounts short. Trust God. In this day and age, if I didn't have that, I don't know what I'd do. And I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about a fellow that, you know, it kind of seems to set him on edge when I talk about that. It's like, you need to be working hard. You need to be, you know, because I trust God, I do those things. But I trust God. I don't worry. I don't fret. We talked last week after the service about Job, and he could say, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I trust God. I trust God. I trust him to save his people. I trust him to do right. I trust him to do right by me and by everybody else. Listen, I deserve to be condemned and cast into hell. And if God did that, I would say, he did right. He's doing right. But he loved his people with an everlasting love. And he sent a Savior to atone for them. The blood of the everlasting covenant. It says, Christ was my surety. Christ was my atonement. Before I was born. Not only that, he was my atonement before he actually became incarnate and accomplished what he had determined to do. God is eternal. He was the surety. God accepted that from the everlasting covenant. That's why the scripture says the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's why Christ is called the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Our little pea brains can't comprehend all that. God is not restricted to time. But Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation. The Father accepted that on the behalf of all the elect, beginning from Adam and forward. Trust God. I don't understand everything, but I trust him. Keep your accounts short. Trust God. Rely on his word. We have the word of God. This is what we're to rely on. Well, God works in our lives, and he guides our paths, and he directs. But here is the final authority. I was reading a brother today, or maybe yesterday, had a article talking about a more sure witness. You know, Peter says that. He talks about the things that happened during his lifetime. He walked with Christ. He saw the transfiguration. He saw Christ perform miracles. He saw the Lord resurrected from the dead. He saw the Lord raised up into glory. And you know what Peter said, having experienced all that? He said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. I mean, we have a more sure word of prophecy. He said, well, boy, if I'd have walked with the Lord, if I'd have lived back then I... No, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Rely on God's word. And we talked a little bit about it, and I don't know how much of it I'll get in today. It's important to understand God. The Lord said, heaven and earth pass away, my word will not pass away. I mean, where is God's word today? In the English language, I believe it's in the King James Bible. Call it what you will. Some people don't like. King James wasn't the greatest guy around. God uses all kinds of people. If you prefer to call it the authorized version of the Bible, go ahead and do that. And I say that because the King James Bible is based upon the Greek and the Hebrew manuscripts and texts that I think can be traced back and shown to be reliable and shown to be equivalent to the originals. Oh, you say some of these other things. God may use them. I'm astounded every day how the kind of people God uses. Even people like me. But there's still truth. There's still right. There's still... So rely on His Word. Talking about faith and trusting God, I'm going to relate a little bit experience I had with a friend. He was a Vietnam veteran, diagnosed to be suffering from Agent Orange, and I guess the VA changed it now, and thinks he's suffering from the water we both drank at Camp Lejeune. Who knows? You know? My cousin up in Alaska recently wrote me, and I asked him how he was doing, because I knew he'd had some heart issues and whatever, and he said, I'm doing the best I can to keep the VA from killing me. Well, and I said, that's why I don't go to the VA, why I don't go to doctors. and I related what Diane told me. I didn't share that this morning, but that I used to always say, I'll go to a doctor when I'm spurting blood. And my wife, 50-year RN, BSN, one of her recent comments was, I'm not sure I'm even going in. And, you know, we trust God, and we know God uses people. God uses even doctors. He uses all kinds of strange birds. But that's not my trust. My trust, my faith is in God. Anyway, this fellow suffered physically, suffered mentally. What he did in the military, you know, I don't recommend Christians go in the American military. It will corrupt you. And you may be used to do ungodly things. And that goes way back. I trust God. Anyway, he talked on those things, and I spoke. I said, it's difficult to know how things will turn out, but I prepare. Yes, we are to prepare. We're not to take God for granted. We're not to test God. You know, the devil took the Lord up and said, jump off here, the angels will catch you. And the Lord said, you shouldn't tempt the Lord, you know. I prepare, I trust God. I said, faith is foundational. Listen here. This is important. People talk this word faith. They don't know what that is. I got faith in this. I got faith in that. And it's like, What are they talking about? I said, faith is foundational, but it is also a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. It's the faith of Christ, and He doesn't give us all the faith of Christ in the same measure. Scriptures speak of great faith. But whatever He gives is sufficient for His elect. Faith is foundational, but it is a gift from God. It is not conjured up within the depraved human heart. I never could understand, even before the Lord helped me to comprehend sovereign grace. You know, the Lord saved me before I completely understood sovereign grace, before I completely understood everything. I'm not saved by my understanding. I'm not saved by my faith. I'm saved by the atonement of Jesus Christ, by the blood of the everlasting covenant. The Lord will teach His people things. He will reveal things to them. He will bring them to places. But I'm saved by the blood of Christ. Faith is foundational. God will give faith to His elect. But it's not conjured up in the human heart. I said, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. Thus, I press on, all by the grace of God. I press on because I trust God. I don't press on because I think I've got to do it all, because I'm relying on myself, because I'm self-reliant. No, I press on because I trust Him. And it's all by His grace. My friend who really doesn't grasp it, that's all right. I kind of think, you know, the Lord opened the door. I've been corresponding with Him. I don't know if He's one of the Lord's elect, but the Lord's used these things. Give me an opportunity to speak to Him and to allude to these things. And you can tell some of them gets his head moving. And maybe the Lord's working. Here's what He responded when I said faith is foundational. He said foundations are the most important part of any structure. Once anyone, and He says this, has made the leap of faith. You beware. You see people talking about that. You know, that's liberal stuff. You've got to make a leap of faith. And I used to, before the Lord helped me even understand sovereign grace, the preacher would say, just have faith. How do you do that? Just have faith. Just believe. If you don't believe, how do you just believe? If you don't have faith, how do you just have faith? No, it has to come from somewhere. And it can't come from here. God gives that faith to His elect, to embrace the gospel of the foundation. He says, once someone has made the leap of faith, that's a liberal terminology, it's almost Marxist in some ways, but it's a leap of faith, and is willing to put faith above or equal to actual self-reliance. Okay, so like he said, okay, here's faith and here's self-reliance, and you know, I should trust my self-reliance more. He doesn't get it. Well, the Lord hadn't given him that faith. And that's the kind of things that Paul's dealing with. That's what these Judaizers were basically saying. You've got to be self-reliant. You need to. And I try to be self-reliant in the human sphere. I consider myself to be self-reliant. I don't want to rely on anybody else. But I'm going to tell you what, I have to rely completely and totally on Him. But he contrasts faith and self-reliance. The leap of faith, willing to put faith above or equal to actual. See, something's actual. Faith is something that's not actual, basically. You know, it's people think, you know, there's the spiritual realm and there's the temporal realm. There's the spiritual realm and there's the physical realm. And our little pea brains think that the physical realm is more real than the spiritual realm. It's just the opposite. But we can't comprehend it. And particularly until the Lord does a work in our heart and gives us life. We can't comprehend that. The spiritual is more real than the temporal. More real than the physical. Make a leap of faith equal to actual self-reliance. Surely they have a security of well-being. Most everyone that is subjected to war, conflict, stress, or trauma, they would seem to have their individual faith tested. Yet, well, the Lord does test our faith. Not in the sense probably he understands. He tests our faith. Not so he's going to see what we're going to do. He knows. But so that we know what we're made of. By his grace, we go through trials, we go through temptations, we go through tests, and it helps us to realize what God has made us and what by his grace we're capable of doing. By his grace. But he says, most everyone that is subject to war, conflict, stress, or trauma, they would seem to have their individual faith tested. Not everyone is strong enough to accept the results of their own individual test of faith. And then he says, and for me personally, my faith, okay, there's faith of Christ and there's your faith. You know, there's something that you have. And unfortunately, he was raised in an atmosphere of confusion. He says, for me personally, my faith, having been raised, baptized, well, not baptized, but anyway, sprinkled as an infant. For me, personally, having my faith having been raised, baptized, completed catechism, been confirmed as a Catholic. Okay, catechism is not a bad word. It's a word that's used a lot by Catholics and the Lutherans. Catechism just speaks of teaching, of learning, of education. Teaching, learning, education is grand. That doesn't save you. You know, head knowledge doesn't save you. Being able to repeat back what somebody told you doesn't save you. And he equates his faith with having been raised, baptized, completed catechism, been confirmed as a Catholic. Whatever that means. It means you passed everything, I guess. You scored well enough on your catechism scores. And confirmed as a Catholic. And what does that even mean today, too? The Pope in Rome 50 years ago would not have been recognized as a Catholic. Look what that man does and says. And like all these different paths to Christ, and we're all kumbayaing and embracing alternative lifestyles and all. I'm not promoting the Catholics, but 50 years ago that man wouldn't have been recognized as Catholic. Now he's a Pope. They used to question when I was a kid, is the Pope Catholic? That's kind of a dilemma. I really don't know, but it's not my problem. Completed catechism, confirmed as a Catholic. Then he says this, I lost my faith. You know what? That might have been a good thing. It was just plain human faith. Maybe the Lord will give him something else, but I lost my faith. If you have the faith of Christ, you can't lose that. He gave it. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. It becomes yours. And after you have the faith of Christ, you may speak of it as your faith because Christ gave it to you. But that faith, you cannot lose. But he said, I lost my faith in a divine, benevolent deity sometime in the 70s. A benign, benevolent deity. I mean, it's just, that's kind of like, what does that mean? It's like, can we say God? Can we say Jehovah? He is the only true God. And yet, I want to talk about, and I'm not beating up on him, not by any means, but the divine benevolent deity. You know the kind of language that is? That's the kind of language of that woman on TV, Oprah. You know, she talks about how spiritual she is. She's not a Christian, but she's spiritual. I don't know what that is. It's kind of spooky. It's kind of like when people say, well, I won't be able to be there, but I'll be there in spirit. How about you just keep your spirit at home if you're going to be sending your spirit here? You know? But they like to, it sounds so nice. A divine, benevolent deity. Not God Almighty. Not Jesus Christ. Not Jehovah God, but a divine, benevolent deity. I lost my faith in a divine, benevolent deity sometime in the 70s. Not a particular battle, any specific event more than an incremental change from beliefs of right and wrong, just and unjust, deserved or undeserved. I just don't see how an all-knowing, benevolent deity would choose to allow good and righteous from one group and evil and murderous for another. God's ways are not our ways. He doesn't think the way we think. He always does right. He's not constrained to human morality or human understandings. He's not constrained by what I can understand. And then he goes on, and I'm not belaboring this so much, but I think this can help us make some points. And he says, I don't confess to be a religious scholar, having taken a world religion course. Oh, that's a grand thing. Go take one of them world religion courses at college. If it were possible to lose your faith, you would lose it there. You know, there's this religion, and there's this, and there's that. There's good here, there's good everywhere. No. Having taken a world religion course in college in the mid-70s, and then he talks about how all the religions are similar, they all have commandments, most believe in one God, the name changes, as does language, and the possibility of life or existence after physical death, consciousness, etc. Listen, there is Jehovah God, and there is no other. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. If somebody else tells you something different, they're a liar. Whether he's wearing some fancy white dress with a pointy fish hat on his head, like the Pope now says, oh, there's all kind of ways to God. No, there's not. And here's another thing. You'll not find the way yourself. He enlightens us and brings us to it. There's none that seeketh, and I'm going to talk about another fellow I've been talking about. There's just so much going on out there that I want to share and talk about. But I had one brother who recently quoted someone who's considered, you know, a great Christian novelist or whatever he was considered, like C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis wrote some interesting things, but he was not really an Orthodox Christian. He really didn't believe the tenets of the Christian faith. He wrote these Narnia things and the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and all that kind of stuff. I can't look at his heart. I don't know if he's a Christian or not. But some of the things he said are just out in left field. In particular, I'm getting ahead of myself. But here was a quote I wanted to deal with from C.S. Lewis. He said, God has made it a rule for himself that he won't alter people's character by force. God made it a rule for himself that he won't alter people's character by force. He can and will alter them, but only if the people will, wait for it, let him. Only if we let him. God is only this sovereign because I'm sovereign, because I have to let him. I have to give him permission. I don't know what happened on the road to Damascus, but I don't think Paul set out and determined that he was going to have his character altered. But I want to tell you something else. God altered Paul's character. Paul never got over it. And he praised the Lord for it the rest of his life. I'll get back to that later. My friend said he's seen a lot of dead friends and enemies, both in the military and the civilian world. And he makes this statement. Never seen a ghost. Was technically dead a few years ago. No white lights, no recollection of the experience. I'm going to remain as prepared as possible without becoming obsessed. Now, I don't know what he's referring to, the ghosts. He's talking about spirits or what. Listen, those things they call ghosts are demons. There is an inseparable wall between this world and the world to come. Those people who are dead don't come back as ghosts. If you see a ghost and a ghost tells you something, that's a demon. You need to keep these people conjure up ghosts, conjure up old loved ones, and you better be careful about that stuff. He says, I've personally seen that, never seen a ghost. I'm going to remain as prepared as possible without becoming obsessed, whatever that means. And then he says, as Doris Day sang, que sera, sera. Okay, so, remember Doris? Maybe some of you don't, but she sang a song. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. Well, that's not talking about God's sovereignty. That's talking about what is called fatalism. And I have a friend that wrote a track on fatalism. He's as strong a sovereign grace believer as you would ever meet. He believes in God's absolute sovereignty, his absolute predestination of all things. But he rejects, they say we're fatalists. Fatalism is pagan. It's based on the pagan gods. Even the terminology is pagan. Que sera, sera. He said, well, I like that, you know. Well, I bet you do. But it ain't true. There is a sovereign God that rules and reigns. He's working his perfect will. And he went on some other things. I'll skip on a little bit. I continued on. I said, I spoke of God-given faith, not a human leap of faith, whatever that might be. Being baptized, especially as an infant, and confirmed, had nothing to do with genuine faith. I understand the trials of life, not necessarily all of yours. There is but one God. He is truly known only as he reveals himself. If you know God, it's because he revealed himself to you. You didn't search around and find him. Scripture says there's none that seeketh. If you know God, it's because he's revealed himself to you. There's but one God, and he is truly known only as he reveals himself. There is but one way, and his name is Jesus Christ. Now, were that not true, Jesus Christ would be a liar. And Christianity would be a sham. My trust is in a sovereign God. And even that trust comes from him. And I concluded, I said, God bless you, my friend. And he said, you too. So I didn't chase him off. He's thinking. I want to make another point on there. Well, whatever. There's only one way to God. If that weren't true, if I thought something else, I would go be something else. I would stop this trying being a Christian. I would stop calling myself a Christian. I saw this week. That's what I was going to say. That a pastor, a Lutheran pastor. I know a couple Lutheran pastors who are conservative. I'm not saying I can't look at their hearts. I don't know if they're children of God, but they're very conservative. They're very orthodox. They're very, you know, into scriptures as they understand them and such. But recently, a Lutheran pastor said that the Bible wasn't written to instruct today's world. Okay? So rely on the Word of God. Christ said, heaven and earth will pass away. And this pastor said, the Bible wasn't written to instruct today's world. I don't know what to call this pastor, because it's one of those things. It used to be a she, and it now pretends to be a he. Now, this is a pastor. Beware. Lutheran pastor, the Bible isn't really written to instruct today's world. Well, I suppose if you were one of those things they call a transgender or something, you would have to say that, because that kind of a lifestyle is condemned by the Word of God. So you got to say, well, and then if you're going to be a Christian, claim to be a Christian of some sort, pastor, and not rely on this book, what's it all about? Why? They're deceivers. Now I'll plant this and we'll come back next week. To me, and we talked about when we were at the festival and people there giving all these different Bible translations and whatever. To me, it's a matter of degree. I'm not saying that these people that were handing out NIVs and the Berkeley translation, I'm not saying that they're not Christians even. I'm not saying they're the same as this, quote, transgender pastor. But it's a matter of degree. Once you start doubting the Word of God, once you start stepping away, once you start veering away, it's just matters of degree. How far you go, there's no end to it unless the Lord intervenes. So you beware. I had some other folks, and I'll get into a little bit of this next week, because I think these things are important, because it's out there. Some people who even claim to be somewhat like-minded with us, not necessarily theologically, but I posted something. I said, if it ain't King James, it ain't Bible. And some of the folks started replying back. One of the replies was this. Paul was a fake. He was a shill for the Jews. Well, how do you talk to people like that? I mean, first of all, Paul addressed all these Judaizers. He wasn't concerned about standing up to them. And yet folks say, Paul was a shill for the Jews. One other place talked about how Paul was sought to overturn Christianity. What is Christianity, according to these people? If it's not in this book, what is it? Where is it? It's like those liberal professors I used to have at cemetery. You know where their God was? He wasn't up there. He may not even have been down there. He was between their ears. And it's like, my friend, well, I can't understand this. I couldn't comprehend this. That doesn't matter. These people, their God is between their ears. It's what they can understand. It's what's in their brain, what they can make up. And listen, I'm not perfect. I can get in the flesh and I can be led astray. But I know the truth is here. The truth is here. It's not between my ears. It's not what I understand, what I comprehend. And how much different were those professors in a supposedly Baptist cemetery from this Lutheran pastor who said the Bible really wasn't written to instruct today's world? Well, my Old Testament professor would say, we'd read something in the Old Testament, and he would say, that's not the God that I worship. What? That's not the God that I worship. He doesn't, with his own mouth, he admits he doesn't worship the God of the Bible. What greater condemnation? God knows that those that are his, he will call them to himself. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as I get on. I got so much here. I almost feel like that reprobate Rush Limbaugh with all his papers up here. But I think there's some things here that are worth addressing and knowing about, particularly in this world in which we live. Okay. We'll take our hymnals and we'll turn to page number 324, Divine Love. And if you like, you can stand as we sing this out today. Divine Love. And what amazes me, too, this song was written by Charles Wesley, who was really an Arminian. And yet, you read the words here, and they're about as sovereign grace as you can get. You know, it's Arminians pray like they were Calvinists. They pray for God to do something. If they were true Arminians, they would get before their friends and pray before them to do something, to make a decision. Anyway. 324, Love Divine.
Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to gather together. Lord, we thank you for your preserved word. Heaven and earth may pass, but your word will not pass. Father, we know that faith comes from thee. And Lord, we're also told that we can pray that you increase our faith. Father, we would desire that. Increase our faith in your word and our Savior and your sovereignty. And Father, as we are well aware that it all comes from thee, that you're sovereign, that you rule and reign, Father, you've given us command of how to live and what to do, and by your grace, may we do that. May we go forward. May we press on as we rest in your sovereignty. Help us to be faithful, Lord. Help us to not compromise. Help us to not waver. Lord, we're in no place to judge those that are without. We pray that you might be pleased to undertake to work in their lives and hearts. Oh, we realize that we have hardly attained. Father, we know that you work in your people. We pray that you might accomplish that which you desire. May we be that people you would have us to be. Lord, go with each of us as we go our way this week. Again, Lord, we pray your hand upon those who suffer from the storm, from loss of homes, from loss even of loved ones. Lord, that you might glorify yourself in these circumstances. Lord, that we might truly understand how great thou art. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you.